But though Apollo has these healing attributes in his capacity as solar divinity, the real Greek god of healing is Asclepius. And Asclepius, significantly, is the son of Apollo by a mortal maiden. So Asclepius is a sort of demigod. Asclepius is sometimes represented as a serpent or in the form of a serpent, but more usually he's represented as a tall, well-built, middle-aged man of very noble, very dignified appearance and with an extremely wise and compassionate expression. And I would say that some of the statues, some of the images of Asclepius are amongst the most impressive from a spiritual point of view that have come down to us from classical antiquity. We know that the Gandhara image of the Buddha was modelled upon the Greco-Roman Apollo, but I can't help thinking that we might have achieved, or those artists might have achieved, even more impressive results if they've started by modelling the Gandharan Buddha, not so much on Apollo as on the figure of Asclepius. In Greek legend, there are many stories of the miraculous cures wrought by Asclepius, and it is even reported that so great was his skill, so great was that divine gift of healing which he possessed, that he could not only cure diseases, not only restore the sick to health, but he could even bring back the dead to life. So much so was that the case, we are told, that the king of the dead became anxious, became even angry, because fewer and fewer people were arriving in his realm. Not only that, but having arrived, they were being rudely plucked back by Asclepius before the king of death could get his hands on them properly, and that would not do. So he went to Zeus, the king of the gods, and he complained, he bitterly complained that he was being deprived of his dues. So Zeus apparently had just one way of settling things. He just hurled a thunderbolt. And that was the end, according to legend, of Asclepius. But they had reckoned without Apollo, apparently, who was the father of Asclepius. Apollo was very, very annoyed, to say the least. So he slew the Cyclops that forged the thunderbolt with which Zeus destroyed Asclepius. And Zeus, of course, punished Apollo, but that's another story. That's how it goes on, just as on the earth among human beings. Now, Asclepius was very much worshipped in ancient Greece. We don't always realize the extent of his cult. We think of the ancient Greeks worshipping Pallas Athene and Apollo and Zeus and Hera and Aphrodite, of course, mustn't forget her. And that's about all. But the Greeks did have a very, very important and powerful cult of their divine healer, Asclepius. And it's because of this that a very large number of statues of Asclepius have survived down to the present time. And we may say, and this is rather interesting, that the cult of Asclepius was both a religion and at the same time a system of therapeutics. And the doctors in ancient Greece were priests of Asclepius. The priests were the doctors. The doctors were the priests. And they had, or the cult of Asclepius had, a number of celebrated sanctuaries. They were centers of religious worship. They were centers of healing too. The two things were completely fused. And these great sanctuaries, which were celebrated all over the Grecian world, all over the Hellenic world, they were built outside towns. And they were built on sites which were especially healthy. And there, people used to go for treatment and worship, because the two were the same. And the method of treatment, or if you like, the method of worship, was very, very interesting. Upon his arrival, the patient would be ceremonially purified. You had to be free from sin. Or if you had committed a sin, you had to be purified from that sin. You had to be ceremonially pure, morally pure. And after that, you were given a bath, or a series of baths. We know that in any case, the Greeks were rather fond of baths. And then one would be required to fast, to abstain completely from food. And after that, you'd offer up sacrifice to Asclepius. And having done all those things, then one night, a night appointed by the priests, or physicians if you like, you would sleep in the temple, in some cases with your head near the feet of the image of Asclepius. And having been prepared in this way, and no doubt with great faith and expectation in your heart, and in great hopes of a cure from whatever disease it was you were suffering from, in the night, in the midst of your sleep, you would have a dream. And in that dream, Asclepius himself would appear to you. You would see him. Not only see him, but hear him. Because in the dream, he would speak to you. He'd give you advice. Either advice about your complaint or general advice. And in the morning, you'd tell your dream to the attendant priests. And the priests would study the dream. They'd interpret the dream. And they'd then proceed to treat the patient according to their understanding of the meaning of the dream. This was the procedure. Now, a few years ago, I happened to have the opportunity of visiting one of these famous old sanctuaries. And this was the one at Epidaurus. It was the most famous of them all. And very much to my surprise, I may say, I found that the atmosphere of this place was really remarkable. It really felt healthy. There was something in the air, something in the atmosphere, if you like. It was calm, it was peaceful, it was positive, it was wholesome. And one could very well imagine the great sanctuary of healing being established on that spot. And I remember that strewn all around the archaeological area and in the little museum also, there were tablets and fragments of tablets, votive tablets, offered by people, dedicated by people who had been cured of this or that disease, this or that complaint, after undergoing all those thousands of years ago the prescribed traditional regimens.